Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to try this 5:30 segment for the time being because of some scheduling problems. Anyway, today's topics, many of the newspapers are beginning to pick up on the fact that the legal profession is out of control. We include judges, lawyers, the lobbyists who are involved, the congresspeople, a lot of our the most predominant profession, or if you want to call it that, in Congress, are lawyers. And look at what a mess they have made of things. But anyway, the New York Times and several other papers have reported that new law students, new law student graduates getting out of law school, even taking the bar and passing the bar, some take as long as six times. Daley Jr., it took him six times. Mayor Alioto, Joseph Alioto's daughter, Angela, took her six or seven times to pass the California bar. Richard Daley Jr. took him five or six times to pass the Illinois bar. So it doesn't tell you much about competence or ethics. Anyway, what's happening is the law school grads today are over qualified or not qualified. And there are no jobs or less jobs available for them. The law schools are under fire for false advertising. This was on Fox TV News, and of course, I think it was this Shepherd guy who went to the University of Ole Miss Law School. But anyway, what's happened is people are beginning to ask the question: is this our society over-lawyered? Interestingly, today is the birthday in 1809 of Oliver Wendell Holmes, who also is from Massachusetts, quite a scholar. He was a captain, I believe, in the Union Army in the American Civil War. There's a famous movie starring Louis Calhoun, came out in 1940, about Oliver Wendell Holmes. Holmes regretted this statement that he said in one of the free speech cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, and he stayed on until he was about 90. He said that no one has a right to shout fire in a crowded theater. He later realized what a mistake he had made by making that statement in a way ex cathedra from the bench. We'll get into that another time. Also, since people are more concerned about animals in our society, pit bulls, this guy who had the pit bulls, black athlete, today is the birthday also of the guy who started the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Henry Bird. Now, what people don't understand about the ASCP, the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, or the Humane Society of the United States, Humane Society of the United States is a lobbying organization. They don't have shelters. Jack Anderson, several years ago, wrote a few columns exposing Kohlberg, the guy who ran the lobbying organization out of Washington, D.C. We'll put those scandals up. The Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals actually started in England back in the 18th century, and I have an interview with the head of the RSCPA. Quite interesting. We'll put it up on this our blog talk here, The New Shadow. Also, each of these humane societies, these animal welfare societies, are independent. There is no central body that controls them like there would be a Standard Oil of New Jersey would control all the gas stations in the areas which they serve, or say a Roman Catholic Church, which controls all of the churches around the world that are part of the hold allegiance to the Pope and the Catholic Church in Rome, which is the headquarters. So these are independent organizations, and people shouldn't be conned that one Humane Society, and they tried that here in San Francisco with Richard Avanzino, who did nothing to dispel the myth that he was the spokesman for all of the Humane Societies around the United States. A lot of Humane Society organization executives are really pissed off about that. Among the other interesting birthdays today, Charles Kettering. Every time you turn the key in your car, think of him. He invented the starter. One of the great French actors came to America with a lovely accent. Charles Boyer was born today. And I mentioned that rare film, Meyerling. Back in the 30s, part of the archives, we found it in our archives, for Zola Carson audiovisual print archives. We're still cataloging stuff. Which he played the role of Archduke Rudolf, who was the heir to the Austrian throne, or the what they call the double crown, Austro-Hungarian throne, the Habsburgs, just before World War I. And he had an affair with a young debutante, and Marie, I think, I forgot her last name. Anyway, his father, Franz Joseph, the longest reigning male ruler, disapproved and tried to get Rudolf to break off the relationship. Instead, he blew her brains out and blew his brains out at a place called Meyerling. It was quite a scandal. Someone commented about the Habsburgs. That's the result of 900 years of incest. You can take it from there. One of my favorite actors, great gravelly voice. I used to think he was English, but he was born in Rhode Island. George McCready was born today, and we unfortunately couldn't find our clip. Him in Pabst's Glory, where he played this megalomaniac general. Now, what happened in World War I, the French army took terrible losses in manpower, casualties, wounded, missing, and in several cases, the generals, they went through a lot of generals before they came to Marshal Foch, Ferdinand Foch. And what this general did, and this has actually happened, they fired on their own men. A French general ordered his artillery to get his men in the trenches moving toward the German lines. And so they said, aim your cannon toward our own trenches. And this actually happened. And Paths of Glory, starring Kirk Douglas, George McCready, Adolphe Melanger, great film. And then also what they used to do, the French army, did what the Romans did. Every tenth man, if you were accused of cowardice, what the Romans did was they flogged every tenth man or killed every tenth man. That's where the word decimate comes from the Latin word my Latin's pretty bad, but you got the picture. And there's a beautiful, it's not beautiful, but it's a very poignant execution scene in Paths of Glory, and it actually happened. Also today, we have Lyman Lemitzer, who was Army Chief of Staff and head of NATO, I think during the LBJ administration. He was born today. And Ingrid Bergman, the great Swedish actor who had one of the biggest scandals. She was had an affair with a married man, and the Catholic Church banned her films. And not only was she born on this date, but she died 67 years later on her birthday. She's not the only one. Also, the great Charlie Bird Black, saxophonist, jazz musician. They called him the Bird. He was born today. And then the great British director, actor, Sir Richard Attenborough. Some of his films are Gandhi, also A Bridge Too Far, about the failed Field Marshal Montgomery plan to capture all the bridges over the Rhine and move into Germany and shorten the war by Christmas. They couldn't capture the Arnhem Bridge. They captured all the others and secured them. But the Arnhem Bridge, because they failed to pay attention to the aerial reconnaissance, which showed that a panzer unit was refitting there. And as the British paratroopers came out of the sky, the Germans were right there, and they were like sitting ducks and became corpses by the time they hit the ground. Also today, we had Donald O'Connor. He was born in Chicago. If you remember the film Singing in the Rain, great voice, married a couple times. Also, we had Dinah Washington, also from Chicago, great black jazz singer. She was born today. Another great singer, but he's from Texas, Thomas Stewart, one of the great opera basses. Basso's, and they're harder to find these days. I think it was Basso or Heldon tenor, and he specialized in Wagner, and you know, to sing Wagner for 4 hours takes, you have to be in great physical strength, and you also have to have a lot of endurance. And, of course, skill and many years of practice. Also today, we had a senator who was involved in the Stephen Nery case. Stephen Nery was a resident and citizen of Arkansas when he went into the U.S. Navy in 1995. And he petitioned his senator, David Pryor, to call for a congressional investigation into how he was removed from the USS Carl Vinson, how he was denied medical care for his broken hand, suffered when he tried to fight off a rape from an AIDS-infected illegal alien with political connections to the district attorney of San Francisco, a scumbag named Terrence Hallinan, who prosecuted cases in which he had an interest in. Another case was a trans case. We'll get into that another day. This is what goes on here in San Francisco, where the police chief, former mayor, Jordan made the comment several times that this is a city where anything goes, and he wasn't talking about Cole Porter. Also, another actor, Elliot Gould, who was the husband at one time to Barbara Streisand, and they fathered a son who later had a gay marriage. And you remember Elliot Gould, probably his best film was MASH. Also, another actor, William Friedkin, who did The French Connection. He was born today. And Robin Leach, who did the thing about the rich and infamous, if you want to call it that, he was born today. And then the late, and I guess depending on how you look at it, Michael Jackson, the black great singer who had his nose and face bleached and his nose straightened, he was born today. And, of course, his most famous song, one of them, is called Bad, and you can interpret that any way you want. Peter Jennings, a Canadian, who was also involved with the Bilderbergs. He was invited to one of their gatherings. This is the so-called quasi group connected to the Dutch former Prince Bernhard and the world financiers and political leaders who met at the Bilderberger Hotel in rural area of Holland, and they allegedly meet every year to supposedly map out the latest plans to control the world. So you can decide what you want on that one. And Peter Jennings, I don't know why he was inviting Dianne Feinstein, the senator, controversial senator of California. She attended one of these things. And they're very secret. And they have heavily armed guards that keep unwanted prying eyes away and people away from that hotel while these so-called world leaders are meeting and financiers. Also today, among the deaths, we had, Brigham Young, he died today. Then we had George Lincoln Rockwell. I believe he was related to the artist Rockwell. George Lincoln Rockwell was a Nazi and he was a homosexual who was killed by one of his, murdered by one of his own followers. He was in the same mold as Captain Ernest Röhm, the homosexual who brought Adolf Hitler to power and who was probably the political godfather of open gays in the military. We don't know about lesbians. That's an area of Nazi Germany's history that very few people have looked at, and it's fertile ground in more ways than one. One of the great Irish political leaders, I recommend the film Michael Collins, Eamon de Valera. He was involved in the Eastern Rebellion, and he was going to be executed. The thing that saved him was that he was an American citizen. His even with a name like Eamon is Irish, but De Valera is Spanish. He was born in New York City, and he was an American citizen, and that's what saved him from the firing squad. And after Michael Collins was assassinated, great movie, I recommend it, he became leader of that party and became president of Ireland, and he died in 1975. I understand he was very conservative. He was a Roman Catholic, of course. And he kept Ireland out of World War II. Ireland was neutral. There are several movies about what happened to the Allied and Nazi military servicemen who either crash-landed on Ireland or fell in the sea within the Irish Republic's borders, they were interned for the duration of the war. There were several attempts to try to escape. So it's another part of history that very few people know anything about. But the Republic of Ireland, Ireland is split in two parts. There's Northern Ireland, which is still controlled by the British, and they're Protestant, supposedly, and there's some Catholics up there. And then there's the Republic of Ireland, which got its freedom, finally, after 600-700 years from the British. And, of course, the whole problem with Ireland started with a Catholic pope, Adrian, who was the only Englishman to sit on the throne of St. Peter, and in one of the most inexplicable moves from the papacy, when the papacy had political influence and power, he gave Ireland to the English, and it wasn't his to give. And it caused all of these problems down through the ages. Elizabeth sent armies in there, and Cromwell was in there, and how they brutalized the Irish people. And even the survivors of the Spanish Armada, the ones that escaped the defeat in the English Channel, they sailed around the northern part of Scotland to try to get back to Spain, and there were shipwrecks on the coast of Ireland. And what happened was the English army, when they apprehended them, they made them strip, and then they went in and slaughtered them, cut them down. Those who escaped married into, or whatever, shacked up with the Irish lasses, and you get the expression today, Black Irish. That's usually darker, black hair, maybe blue eyes. And Nixon, Richard Nixon, was supposed to be a descendant of the Spanish survivors of the Spanish Armada back in the 15th century. And he was called Black Irish. Also today, the death of Lowell Thomas. Lowell Thomas, I believe, was the one who, in the movie Lawrence of Arabia, followed the adventures of Colonel Lawrence. And he was the one in the early era of film and videography, he was the one that put T.E. Lawrence on the screen, made him famous. And then one of my favorite actors, the great Lee Marvin, died today. Died rather young, 63 years old. The U.S. Marine in World War I. Contrary to a lot of beliefs, he was not, even though he was born in New York, he's not Jewish. His family was from England, from Brighton, I think. Father was an advertising executive. He was bounced out of a lot of schools and ended up at a Catholic school, St. Leo's Preparatory School, down in Florida. He studied plumbing, and then he was in the Marine Corps, and at Iwo Jima, he got shot in his buttocks, and it severed or damaged the one of his nerves. Great film. He was in The Big Red One, which Sam Fuller's film. Those of you who remember The Dirty Dozen, he was the captain of one of his most famous films, as the man who shot Liberty Valance. He was Liberty Valance, a thug, and it was John Wayne who shot Liberty Valance, and Jimmy Stewart played the marshal, the lawyer who didn't shoot him but got the credit and later became a senator. Great film, great actors, the three great actors in that film. Also, Cat Ballou, which he got an Academy Award with. It's kind of funny. A lot of people don't know that Lee Marvin, a military veteran who's buried in Arlington National Cemetery, he opposed the Vietnam War. And here he is in a film with Jane Fonda, who was called Hanoi Jane. And he got an award for his great work in Cat Ballou. I don't know how they got the horse to do what it did, but it's a great film and it's funny. Also today, the Mormons came up with this idea of celestial marriage, a.k.a. polygamy. And it wasn't until many years later that Congress finally passed a law banning this type of multiple marriage, as it were, although there's some radical sects in the Mormon church, or maybe they're on the outs, who were engaged in polygamy. And I think there was this case in rural Utah involving this guy who brutalized these women and was prosecuted recently and is now in, I think, state prison. But now getting back to the questions that are on the featured on the the episode today, we've got to start thinking about, is this country overlawed? Do we have too many lawyers? Especially as I said earlier, and as more and more media reporting, even the legal papers, legal report, news reporting papers, are saying that hey, there's problems out there. And also we see this, and I put it up on my Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, where lawyers here in San Francisco, we have so many of them, and we have about five law schools. We have USF, University of San Francisco, Jesuit Catholic School. We have Hastings, which is University of California Law School. We have Lincoln, which is at the very bottom. We have Golden Gate, and I think there may be one others. And then we have other satellite law schools in like John F. Kennedy in Alameda County, or Moraga, that's Alameda County. But we in the state of California, we have at least five law schools. We have the Hastings, we have Berkeley over in Berkeley, California, which is a very fine school. We have Davis up in Davis, California, near Sacramento. We have UCLA Law School. We have the University of San Diego Law School. And the question is, do we need this is the most law schools, that I, and then, of course, Lincoln and several others, John F. Kennedy, but those are private. You pay. But the question people should be asking themselves, should we be downsizing some of these professionals, this type of professional school, and instead offer scholarships, grants, and loans to any citizen, a student who wants to go to a private law school, so that'll and that we get rid of this infrastructure. Also, people should be asking more questions about, we see these media lawyers on like Fox and some of the other programs. Nobody asks the question, are these guys hustling for business? What is their track record? Especially when I hear the term prosecutor. Well, how many of their cases were appealed? How many of their cases were overturned? How many were death penalty cases? How many were thrown out for violation of due process, conflict of interest, ethics? There are a whole range of issues that need to be asked and questions that need to be asked about these what I call media lawyers. And maybe, and several lawyers have told me, having worked at a different part of the field for on and off for 40 years, that these people are on boob tube because they're lousy lawyers to begin with. They're looking for business. They're hustling. So that's a question that needs to be asked. The other question is growing public corruption. If you look at Congress, the predominant profession is lawyers. And look at the mess. Look at the we have, and these cases aren't always reported in the major media. For instance, one of the worst corruption cases involving judges in the state of California was a guy named Frega, took bribes from lawyers, and he was a judge, F-R-E-G-A. Of course, in Cook County, Illinois, you had over 40 judges and lawyers who were investigated and indicted and prosecuted by the feds for public corruption. In fact, it brought down a former governor, Otto Kerner, who was sitting on the 7th federal appellate court, which is Chicago and Midwestern districts, and he appealed. What he did was, he was still a lawyer, and he was a U.S. attorney appointed by Harry Truman after World War I. He had served as in the Army National Guard in World War II, Otto Kerner. And he was appointed U.S. attorney, and he made the statement, there's no such thing as the mafia. I mean, in Chicago, can you believe that? In Cook County. So, then he got it. He was very much involved in politics. He married Anton Cermak's daughter. He was the mayor of Chicago who was assassinated or accidentally killed in Florida when he was sitting in a car with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And Giuseppe Zangara was the hitman. And the dispute is whether he was really aiming for President Roosevelt or was he out for Anton Cermak. And these famous words were uttered by Cermak as he was dying. He said, "I'm glad it was me, Frank, instead of you." And then he died. And then Otto Kerner married Anton Cermak's daughter and then got into politics. And when he was governor of Illinois, we had the 1967 civil rights disturbances, whatever you want to call it, Watts. President Lyndon Johnson appointed him head of a commission, which was named after him, the Kerner Commission. to investigate the complaints by blacks that they were discriminated against and all kinds of abuses. So that made him famous nationally. Then he got appointed. He had a scandal in when he was governor of Illinois involving racetracks and a guy named Jacobs, I think. Federal lawsuit went up to the U.S. Supreme Court after he was appointed a federal appellate judge for the Seventh Federal Circuit. And the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. They can do that. Just because a case goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, they can refuse to hear it, what is called denying certiorari. That doesn't go to the merits unless they make the justices make comments on the case. Stephen Airey's case was altered when it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The clerks illegally altered the filing of the case, and we'll get into that another day. So these are questions we need to ask ourselves. And as Shakespeare wrote in one of his plays, I think it was involving Falstaff, one player says to the other, "When I become king, I'm going to kill all the lawyers." So this feeling about lawyers goes all the way back through to the 15th century in Elizabethan time and even further beyond that. So we'll end with our favorite theme, and we'll be back Wednesday. We'll probably have the Jack Phillips interview, which is up on Amicus Veritas YouTube, AmicusVeritas. He was probably the godfather of all the broadcast technicians. He taught at John O'Connor School. And it's a great interview for people who are thinking of going to the broadcast field. So we'll end with what politics and poker is all about.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a
kick. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say...
Well, I say we end it now. This is Peter Paul Vizzola. We'll be back Wednesday, and we'll probably have an interview with Jack Phillips, and it's also the video is up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube, and also we will edit down the interview we have with the Russian Navy sailors. Peter Paul Vizzola, good night.